Our guest today is Peter Hayden, General Manager of Marketing Australian Pork. We are going to be chatting about who APL is and what the current and future position is of the pork industry. I'm hoping you all have heard about Australian pork. If you haven't, that is what today is all about. We are going to be giving you a complete understanding of APL and the mechanics within the business, as well as discuss the current and future fresh pork market. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks very much, Vanessa.
We are delighted to have you on the show today. We have so much to discuss. So tell us, Pete, firstly about you. You're the general manager of marketing, but we're interested to know about you.
Okay, so I went into marketing back in 1993, I think it was. Left university, went to Kraft, went from there to Cadbury in the UK. Then emigrated in 1997 because Australia's like England, except the weather's better and the people are more friendly. And worked for Lion Nathan for a while in beer. Then I spent 5 or 6 years running my own business until in 2007, my wife was offered a finance role in Singapore. And because she thinks I'd be a pain because I've got such a big ego if I couldn't work, she said, actually, I don't want to be the key breadwinner, but you have to get a proper job. You can't be a consultant. So that was when I joined Australian Pork in August 2007. And really what attracted me to the role is at the time we were the fourth biggest species behind beef, chicken and lamb. And we also had an awful lot less money to spend than they did. So we thought that actually that was a really big challenge. If we were going to improve our position and by spending less, that felt like an interesting thing to have a go at. So that's what I've done.
So there you go. That's it in a nutshell. So tell us, Australian Pork. Australian Pork is the industry body for the pig farmers. But tell us what else Australian Pork actually does.
Well, so Australian Pork is unique in the rural agricultural community because we're one organisation which is focused on pig production, but we do policy, which basically means interacting with regulators. We do R&D, which is scientific research, and we also do marketing. And our basic brief is to do for producers what they can't do for themselves.
That's actually really interesting because, you know, a lot of the food service market have seen Porkstar. They know Mitch and Kylie really well, but they don't really understand the policy and the innovation behind what else Australian Pork does. So tell us, the last 18 months has been a really challenging time for the pork industry. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's happened and what the current status is?
Sure. Well, so the last 18 months has been really hard, largely for producers because they're victims of their own success. So in 2015 and 16, they took it with their product quality and APL with some of the activities we've done with supply chains, basically grew demand very quickly. As a consequence, prices for pork and pigs went up. As a consequence of that, people made more pork, and we actually overshot, basically. So we made too much pork, which made an awful lot more available. We grew by about 8 or 9% in volume terms, but also pushed down the price to a point where it was unprofitable. And that's why it's been really hard for the last 18 months or so. But we're now going into a period where prices are recovering, grain prices, which have been astronomically high, are coming down.
So why does grain, tell us, why does grain affect the pig industry as much as it does?
Well, so grain is the main feed element for pigs, and it would probably account for, in a low-cost year, about 50% of cost of production, in a high-cost year, maybe 60% of cost of production. And so obviously we're very dependent on harvests for grain because they're our major cost.
And at the moment with the drought and, you know, with the lack of rain that we've had, that would have had a massive impact on that grain market.
So it has. Really up until about April, in the last month or so, grain prices have started coming down. And that's partly because there's been good harvests in Europe, which makes global price go down, partly because we've probably got a little bit more grain on the market than there was in the last 18 months or so. And also, I think there's some grain farmers that were holding grain and waiting for the price to top out. Mm. And now they've started to see it go down. They're actually piling into the market, which is pushing prices down further.
That's actually really interesting. I find watching that whole space, because it does have such a big effect on our market, to be really important for us to know about. So if I had a restaurant, Pete, and I was wanting to put pork on my menu, and, you know, tell us about consumer behaviour and how that has changed since you've been at Australian Pork. That's been, what, 15 years?
11 years.
11, okay.
I'm not that old.
We'll just mark it up to 15.
Fair enough. So probably the biggest change in Australian Pork over the last 11 years is we used to be in consumer land, kind of like the weird cousin that you only saw at family weddings. They're perfectly pleasant, but they're just a bit odd. Mm. And through constant communication with supply chains and great new product development through supply chains, Pork's managed to become somebody that's, A, not weird, you're much more familiar with, and secondly, it's almost become, certainly for 3 or 4 of the last 6 or 7 years, it's really become quite sexy, and it was the thing that was on trend and probably typified best by the pork belly trend, which over the last 15 years has gone from a also-ran cut to a core cut. So that's probably the biggest thing. And that's one of the things I think adds to a menu, is that it adds interest to, and it's just a bit different from everything else, but it's also different in a modern way now, where it was different in an old-fashioned way 11 years ago.
So it's more of an occasion product than it was an everyday staple on a menu.
Exactly right.
Which has now become the other way now, hasn't it? Yeah. We are seeing pork a lot more on a lot more menus.
Well, and particularly in the last 18 months, so with more pork available, what's really happened is that retail markets have grown by 8 or 10% a year, but food service has grown by 50-odd percent. And that's partly because there was enough available that wasn't on contract for the food service industry to benefit from the additional volume.
So getting back to the market and the way that the market has gone through the challenges of the last year, what is the current status of the market? I know we talked about supply and demand is now a little bit more in line, and prices have started to tighten up slightly. Mm. What do we know to be happening at the moment?
Well, so because the pig industry takes 9 months from when you make a decision as a producer to that production actually hitting the market, we actually have reasonably good foresight at what's going on. And what we think's going to happen over the course of the next 6 months or so is annual slaughters will go from about 5.4 million as of April, to about 5.1 million by October. So we're going to see some kind of contraction over that period of time. And that's really what's bringing supply and demand into balance, which is why you're seeing price movements. What's going to happen over the year after that, it kind of looks like we're going to go back from 5.1 to about 5.3 or 5.4, probably by October 2020. And pricing wise, whilst pricing is really hard to foresee, it does look like continued international demand for red meats is going to keep their prices relatively high. So even as the pork price recovers, we'll still stay pretty good value for money.
That's a really interesting point too, especially for food service, where, you know, chefs are always looking at their GP and wanting to make sure that they're able to make money on their menu items. Yeah. So it's important that they're able to keep up with where the market's at. So tell us, get some pork on your fork. How important has that been to the marketing campaign overall for Australian Pork?
Well, so it's been absolutely central to what we've done. If you're working with a product which lacks familiarity, and we lack familiarity because people cook beef and chicken every week and they cook pork maybe every 4 or 5 weeks. So we used advertising as a familiarity generator because we didn't have frequency of use. But of course, as Get Some Pork on Your Fork gained more and more momentum, there was more and more usage, so people are increasingly familiar. And obviously we want the same as everybody else. We want everybody to have a balanced diet of all of the four main proteins.
No, it's great. It's, you know, anyone that I ever run into and they say, where do you work at? And I say, Australian Pork. It's get some pork on your fork. It's what we've become synonymous with. So, is, you know, wrapping up today, it's been great to have you on the podcast today and just to talk about the market. And it's going to be good to be able to revisit this every quarter as well so that we can keep everybody in the industry up to date on the, you know, what's happening and where the market's at. Is there anything else that you'd like to add into today?
So probably the one big thing that's going on in the global marketplace is a disease which has gone into China, which is African swine fever. Now, as a disease, it doesn't affect humans, but it decimates pigs. And it looks like, just to give you some context, so China would produce about half of all of the pork in the world, and the Chinese pork is 18% of all of meat production in the world. We expect their production to go down somewhere between 20 and 40%. That means they're going to lose about 20 million tons of pork.
Wow.
Which means that globally, the international price for pork will go up. That will make Australia very close to being competitive. And that will mean that you may well end up seeing Australian pork go into more ham and bacon and more sold internationally. So from a customer's perspective, so if I was running a chain of restaurants, I'd be making sure that I was securing with some kind of agreement the pork that they need supplying.
That's a good point. You know, speak to your suppliers, get some contractual agreements in place on the volume that you use throughout your venues. So tell us, Pete, when you talk about the African swine fever, you know, why is it not in Australia?
Well, so two reasons, really. One is Australia has some of the toughest biosecurity laws in the world. So, for example, when African swine fever broke in China, the Australian government basically banned pork imports by coming through an airport or through the post. And since they did that, they've picked up about 20,000 people bringing pork products in that they've confiscated. And they're also scanning it through post offices. And they picked up 15,000 packs through them. But that's the kind of strength of biosecurity that Australia has. And that's one of the reasons that of all of the top 10 diseases in pigs, Australia doesn't have any of them.
Mm.
The second thing is, of course, natural. We're an island. It's difficult for viruses to come across water. And I guess there is a third thing, which is our farms are highly conscious of biosecurity. So if you want to go into any major piggery, you have to shower in and shower out, because we're very clear that the clean green image of Australia is not only good for Australian consumers, but it's also a really good selling point overseas. And so everybody's intent, the government included, on keeping all of the horrible diseases that we don't have out.
Keeping them all at bay. Okay, so just wrapping up today, if any of our listeners were wanting to keep up to date with the current market status and around the African swine fever, where can they find that information at?
Well, so they're probably best off in the first instance to either email me at peter.hayden@australianpork.com.au.
You know you're going to get a big influx now, right?
Hey, I love emails.
You respond so well.
I've got a forward button. What can I tell you?
Yes.
Or by all means, feel free to call the office number, which is 02-6270-8800.
Gee, I'm impressed.
You're easily
impressed.
What about
your mobile? No, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. Anyway, that wraps up today. And we thank you so much for listening and tuning in. For more information on what we've covered today, please email us at inspired@australianpork.com.au or sign up for our informative newsletter at inspiredbyaustralianpork.com.au. Until next time, remember, get some more pork on your menu.